Ricciardo. This is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
You've won the Canadian Grand Prix. Well done, your first win.
Wow.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast.
You've done it in style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. Just a short hop from our Milton Keynes headquarters, Silverstone is our factory's home race. This will be the 65th time Formula One has staged a Grand Prix at Silverstone, staging its 48th F1 race this year. The circuit has come a long way since it was turned from a wartime airfield into a motor racing circuit. It's now one of the world's most famous motorsport venues. Set in the heart of the Northamptonshire countryside, Silverstone Village isn't quite Monte Carlo, Barcelona or Montreal, but it does always provide an interesting race, and it's widely regarded as one of the best tracks to race at amongst drivers. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to speak to both our drivers, Sebastian and Daniel, about their races here today. We hear from podcast regulars Christian Horner and David Coulthard. Plus, we end with another exclusive mix from our resident DJ, Erog. First, we've been mentioning our open house events a lot on the podcast recently, giving you the chance to race with the team. It all happened last week, and Rich went to speak to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, at the event.
Sebastian, we're at the Open House 2014 event at Daytona Karting. How's the day been so far for you?
It's been a great day so far. Really enjoyed going back on a go-kart, you know. Used to do that as a kid, and now to do it again today together with Daniel, it was really funny. And then we watched Adrian and Christian do some laps, so now really enjoyed it, you know. And it's really open, and there's a lot of fans and people that really follow us on the racetrack, and we could get to speak to them, so it was a good event.
How important is it for the fans to connect with you guys, the drivers and the rest of the team and stuff?
I think, you know, the sport is living because of the fans, so it's very important that we try to open up as much as possible to make sure they understand and enjoy the show. And together today is a great day because you know, the fans are driving against us. They try to beat our lap time, then we went back in the go-kart. So I think altogether it's a great day, and we need to do as many days as possible like this. I know it's sometimes very difficult because we have a tight schedule, but it's still very important to sometimes do it. And today we have a good weather, so it's fantastic.
I believe you on the board downstairs at Daytona Racetrack have the second fastest time ever set here. So did you beat that today?
I think I did a very similar lap time, but I think I did 109.1, which is okay. Daniel was very close to me, so no, we enjoyed, you know, driving. And even, you know, Christian did a good lap. He was something like just a second slower.
And if you had one message for the fans this season, what would that message be?
You know, to keep pushing Red Bull, you know, to stay behind us, because we are coming back. You know, we won only a race in a way, only, if we can say it like that, but we will be back.
Cool, well, thanks for catching up with us. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks.
You can watch the full video from our open house event on the website redbullracing.com. On to the race here today now, and Daniel Ricciardo took a deserved fourth podium finish of the season at the British Grand Prix after switching to a one-stop strategy that saw him fend off pressure from rivals behind and hold together his final set of tyres for 37 laps until the chequered flag. Sebastian Vettel, meanwhile, finished fifth, the champion winning an epic battle with Ferrari's Fernando Alonso that defined the last third of the race. The race was won by Lewis Hamilton, who took his fifth victory of the season ahead of Williams' Valtteri Bottas. Championship leader Nico Rosberg was forced to retire from the race with a gearbox problem on lap 29. The race had to be restarted after Kimi Raikkonen crashed heavily on lap 1, an accident that led to a one-hour delay as the guardrail was repaired. During the red flag period, the team opted to swap Daniel and Seb's starting medium tyres for hard compound Pirellis, a choice the pit wall believed would offer more strategic options as the race unfolded. Here are both our drivers after the race.
Oh, I feel good. This is like the best third place I've ever got. I'm not normally ecstatic with a third, but I really am today. Ecstatic for, you know, obviously to redeem myself for yesterday. Also the fact that I don't think we had an awesome race car today, but we made it work. You know, we sort of used the cards that we had well, and we played the game well. So really happy to make one stop work. And the option at the end, I think we did 30, 37 or 38 laps, and that was good fun. I saw Jensen coming, and to be honest with, I mean, he was closing me, and then about 10 laps to go, it seemed I was only going a few tenths a lap slower, so it looked like we were going to comfortably get it by 3-4 seconds. But yeah, about 3 laps to go, my tyres really started to hurt, and I was thinking if he gets a sniff of DRS, especially with the ponies they have behind him, I thought we're probably going to be a bit vulnerable. But I was very excited to hear that there was 1 lap to go, and we just held on. You know, at one point my engineer pretty much said, all right, 4 laps to go on this tyre, then let's box. And that was with the option. And I said, basically, the pace seems okay. You know, the tyre's not getting any worse. Let's just try and stay out, or at least think about keeping me out there. And he said, okay, we'll look at our options. And then a few laps later, he said, do you think you can go to the end? There's 15 or 20 laps to go. And I said, at the moment, I think, yeah, we can give it a crack. So we did, and it just paid off. Obviously, I was smiling today. But I don't think it always works out like that. But today it did, so we can all celebrate while we have it.
You know, when you race Fernando, you know it's tough. You know that it doesn't give you much room. But yeah, in the end, obviously, I made it through, so that was good. But it was very close. I got the call that I should respect track limits. I knew exactly that he was complaining in front, and then I started to do the same thing. So I don't know who won in terms of keeping the list. Obviously, for me, it was easier to spot him when he went wide rather than for him seeing me, because I'm not sure about the resolution of the Ferrari mirrors, but according to his complaints, it must be awesome. So maybe there's something we can do. You know, we went for the wrong strategy. So yeah, bitter, because it could have been a podium easily.
Now, David Coulthard watched the whole thing unfold from the BBC commentary box, and he even interviewed the top three drivers on the podium at the end of the race. This is what he made of the 2014 Grand Prix.
DC, wow, what a race. Pretty crazy start today, and then just a lot of battles up and down the field. Can you give us a quick summary of?
Well, the getaway was a perfect start for Nico Rosberg. Disappointing, of course, for Sebastian Vettel, who seemed to get bogged down off the line. He saw himself drop down. We then, of course, had the incident with Kimi Raikkonen crashing on the run down to Brooklyn's corner. That resulted in the race actually being restarted. That was to the benefit of Nico Rosberg, because he had a safety car start, but it was also crucially for the benefit of Lewis Hamilton, who found himself starting in fourth place. Thereafter, it was some really great battles up and down the field. I particularly enjoyed the battle between Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel. They were both trading, you know, sort of schoolyard insults in terms of who was running off the track and who was using DRS in the wrong place. That was all, of course, for the benefit of the race director, Charlie Whiting. In the end, Sebastian got the better of that particular battle. Great result for Williams, the Bottas getting up into second, another consistent result. Yep. Fourth podium for Daniel Ricciardo, great solid drive. He continues to just go from strength to strength. And I think generally the disappointment for Nico Rosberg is to encourage the other teams that Mercedes are quick, but they have reliability issues. Yep. And as we saw in Montreal when Daniel Ricciardo got his first victory, there's going to be more opportunities this year for Daniel, Sebastian, Fernando, maybe even to get a chance to get for the podium and possibly a win. So overall, I think it was a great day of British motorsport, and hopefully the fans enjoyed it at home.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've just come from Austria, which is Red Bull's home Grand Prix, and now to the team's local Grand Prix, and it's just been a couple of weeks of really great racing, and next off we're off to Germany, which is Sebastian's home race. Is there added pressure on a driver like Sebastian or Lewis today?
I think there's extra support, and of course there's more work involved because you feel the home support and you're obliged therefore to show your appreciation of that. So in the same way we saw Lewis a lot more engaged with the fans today on the driver parade and after the race, it'll be exactly the same for Sebastian. He's clearly very popular in Germany, you know, current world champion, 4 world championships on the bounce, having a difficult season, a season that he hasn't experienced before really in Formula 1, even in the building years with Toro Rosso. But this is all part of the journey. journey. And as we see with other great champions like Fernando Alonso, you know, you can't win all the time, you can't have the best car all the time, and it's just a question of working away with your team to find solutions.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, this is Daniel's fourth podium now, first season with the team, and the way he managed his tyres in that last stint is amazing to achieve that podium. Are you surprised by him this season?
I think everyone, other than possibly himself or his family, I've got to say they're surprised. You know, Sebastian is such a great champion, so fast, that it was always going to be a case, well, if Daniel could match him, that was exceptional, because you're matching a four times world champion. If you could beat him, then, you know, it's really giving us something special. I think it's fair to say that in terms of where they are in their life, you know, Daniel's in the happiest place in racing terms. This is the best team, best car he's ever driven, and it's giving him the chance for podiums and wins. For Sebastian, he has experienced more. He has had a car that's been more competitive. You know, clearly there's nothing wrong with the chassis. Renault are working hard to try and give more power. It was so evident today in straight line speed. So, you know, Sebastian not in as happy a place, and actually, you know, somewhat probably battle weary from the last 4 years of very intense championship battle within the team with Mark, and also outside the team with Fernando and the other drivers. So, you know, what Sebastian needs to do is use the frustration of not having such a competitive car to be an energy conservation period in his career, to rebuild his energy, not let the frustrations come through, and then when Red Bull inevitably have the winning package again, then we'll have a fantastic battle between the two of them.
Today you were back up on the podium. Was that your highlight of the weekend?
Well, waking up this morning was a highlight. Any day I wake up healthy is great, but you know, it's an honour to go on a Formula 1 podium, either as a driver or have the opportunity as a broadcaster to do that. So of course I'm happy and proud to have been asked to go up there. It's a very small podium, so you can't really swing a cat up there, but I'm glad they allow the public onto the track, otherwise it would struggle for atmosphere.
You got a big chair, so
oh, fantastic. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, that'll be a few of the Scots.
Cool, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
After 4 months of intensive research, crawling interviews, daunting practice tests and plain hard work, Infinity's Performance Engineering Academy reached its conclusion as three young engineer students were presented with the opportunity of a lifetime, a 12-month work placement with Infinity Red Bull Racing. Rich went to speak to the man behind it, Rob Gray.
Cool. So I'm joined now by Rob. Rob, can you just explain to the fans what your role in the team is?
Sure. So my job title is Deputy Chief Designer, and my main responsibility is for the development of the current car. Yeah. So I look after everything that changes on the car after it's been first designed and built. So I'm not really worrying about what's going on next year, but concentrating on how do we keep pushing through to the end of the season.
So we're at Silverstone for the next Grand Prix. We had our official home race in Austria for Red Bull, and now we're going to the team's local or home race. Just what makes this race so special for the team and for you in particular?
Well, first of all, the Austrian race was a fantastic event. We all really, really enjoyed ourselves out there. And now coming to Silverstone, as you say, a lot of the guys live locally in this area, so it does feel like the home race to a lot of people. And what's special about it, it's like any home event. It's no different to your home football match when it's your own team playing. It just is special. And all your whereas your neighbours might not take any notices of races going on in other places around the world, for this one, they know what's happening. They know it's Silverstone. Yeah. So it is special to all of us.
And just talking about the home event, we've had some big news this week, which is our friends at Infinity have been doing a project called the Infinity Performance Engineering Academy, and the three winners were announced. So for the fans who aren't familiar with this program or with this project, can you just give them a quick breakdown?
Yeah, sure. So today is really the culmination of nearly a 12-month effort to find the future engineering stars, really. We've been bringing engineering students from all around the globe, so guys from China, from the US, from Australia, all over, really. And they've come to the fact that they've had a lot of applications, 1,500 applications. They've been whittled down to just 12. They came to the factory over the last 2 days, and we've put them through an assessment centre, and then we've chosen three guys to come and start work for us.
That's a fantastic opportunity for them. And for the winners, what will the next steps be working with the team?
So they start work in September, and we'll get them settled in, and then we'll get them doing real work for us. I mean, within a month, we hope that they'll be actually designing parts to go on the car and working on things that move the team forward.
Yeah. And I mean, mean, our fans have seen or really enjoy seeing people get opportunities like this. We've got this program with Infinity with the three winners. Are there more programs like this in the pipeline? Is this something we're going to continue to do going forward, or is that it for this year?
I think that's probably it for this year, but there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm about this going forward.
Yeah.
And even today, you know, we're already talking about what we're going to do differently next year, how we're going to expand the program. So there's a lot of enthusiasm for expanding it and making it better next year.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to chat to us on the podcast today, and we'll catch up with you at another race in the near future.
No problem. Thanks very much.
We mentioned that Silverstone is a favourite track amongst the drivers. Rich went to speak to our reserve and test driver, Antonio Felix da Costa.
Great, so I'm joined by Antonio. Now, Antonio, how are you doing? Welcome to the British Grand Prix. How's things going?
Yeah, really good. It's been a really interesting weekend so far. The weather has played a big role this weekend. It's been nice to be around, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the British Grand Prix is always a bit of a special one in the calendar. The factory is just a stone throw away. And we had our Red Bulls home Grand Prix in Austria, which was a big one. And then this one's also big. Great fans. How's Britain been? What's your favorite thing about the British Grand Prix?
I mean, I think the track is obviously really good. The drivers really like it. There's some high-speed corners, which, you know, if you want to bring an F1 to the limit, you know, of the car, this is the track to do it through Maggots Beckett. It's, you know, corners that are famous in the whole world of motorsport. And for me to be here is good. The fans are really great. You know, we know England and Great Britain is really good to support motorsport, and it's always good to see.
Yeah, and just talking about racing and stuff, how's your season going so far? And can you give the fans a bit of an update?
Yeah, it's going really well. I mean, I joined the DTM series this year with BMW. It's going really well, always with a Red Bull background. A lot of support, and it's going well. I mean, the first three races, we qualified in the top three and brought some good points home. It's a long season, still to go, learning. You know, it's a new challenge for me, but I have to say I'm having a lot of fun.
It's been quite an interesting season, a lot of regulation changes, a lot of interesting races happening. How do you think the boys have got on so far from Sebastian and Daniel?
It's been a tough season compared to the past four or five, but this is part of the game. This is part of what, you know, a team, you see when a team, how strong a team is when they go through tough times like this, and we can see everybody's still working really hard. The drivers are pushing hard to, you know, to make things come to and make the car work to what they want, and you know, this is where you see when a team is good or not, and I think we're proving to be good at the moment, best of the rest. But I think the short-term goal is for sure to bring it up to the Mercedes, and hopefully by the end of the season we can do it.
We're going to have to get you on our Twitter sometime to do a takeover so that the fans can get some of their questions thrown in at you.
Yeah, sure, I'll be looking forward to that.
All right, cool, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The final word from the British Grand Prix belongs to Christian Horner. Katie went to speak to him after the race.
Okay, Christian, third and fifth, how do you feel about the result?
Mixed in many respects, because with one Mercedes retiring, it feels like we've in some ways underperformed, but in other ways overperformed. Daniel, to come from eighth to third, was a fantastic drive. He managed to make the tyres really last well for him, and did an amazing job. You know, with Seb, we elected to take a two-stop route, stop very early at the first stop, and unfortunately when he dropped behind Fernando, whilst it was an amazing battle, it cost him a great deal of time to be able to catch back up with Jensen and see if the two-stop would have been quicker than the one-stop with Daniel.
And how was it watching that Seb overtaken Alonso from the pit wall?
It was exciting. I mean, the BBC called me at that exact moment, and so I ended up living the moment with the rest of the British nation, and thankfully managed to keep it clean. It's really exciting and a great, you know, great move by Seb.
And do you think it was a good race for the fans that have come out here to see it today?
I think so, and they got a home winner, so congratulations to Lewis, and they got a good race. I mean, the racing throughout, you know, was exciting, and our guys did their bit. I thought the battle between Fernando and Seb was really scintillating, because it was two world champions really going at it hammer and tong, but with enough respect to give each other just enough space.
And when was the first time you came to the Silverstone Grand Prix?
I first came to Silverstone back in 1992. It was my first year, which was the height of Mansell Mania, and I was driving in the support race, so it was fantastic. And so in 1993 I drove in the support race, 1992 I was just here as a spectator, and it was amazing. He went from Mansell Mania in 92 to then Damon Hill era the next year, and you went sort of from the Sun Readers to the Times across two different seasons.
Okay, and then next up, Germany?
Then our third home race in succession. obviously an important race for Sebastian, and we need to be trying to close that gap yet further. I mean, we scored the same amount of points as Mercedes today, and we need to be taking points out of them, hopefully, in the very near future.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's been a positive weekend for us here at Silverstone. Make sure you check out all the behind-the-scenes action and get involved with the team's social media on our website. We'll leave you with yet another incredible mix from our resident DJ, E-Rock. We're back from Sebastian's home Grand Prix in Germany in just 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care.
my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, E O U. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. If you take my hand, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all.
Yeah.